You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and you're tuned to Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the line with me the chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik. I'd like to welcome you to the show today, Mike. How's it going with you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
In our previous segment, we talked a lot about the Community Development Association's grant program that is starting on July 27th. In this segment, Mike, I'd like to talk a little bit about what the county itself is doing as far as recovering from COVID and moving forward. But let's start with, you mentioned that you're out and about in the communities again doing your tours. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, thank you. You know, I think there's been some getting back to in-person things. And I, as you are aware, I represent 22 cities and townships. And prior to COVID, I was usually out 3-4 days a week visiting one or more of the townships or small cities during their monthly meetings, just to kind of give an update of what's going on at the county, make sure that they are, if there's anything I was not hearing, to kind of be able to work with county officials on that. And I think as of now we have, I think it's 10 or 11 of the 13 townships are now meeting in person. So for about, since June, I've now been starting to get back out there and visit with the townships and small cities and just kind of give some updates of what's going on at the county, give a COVID-19 response and what we've been doing. I think your listeners are aware, we have a county dashboard that is updated Monday through Friday, and that breaks down into positive cases per community and number of hospitalizations, things of that sort. So a lot of the townships were not aware that this website was available. So that is updated and shows you a lot of great data at a county level. So that's been some of the things. Also, just in conversations of the CARES Act, the federal dollars that we received from Congress and from the state, or passed through the state. And so that's been more of the, you know, what we're going to do with that, because not only did the county receive $52 million for this, but also the townships themselves received about $400,000 that they have to allocate for COVID-related expenses.
All right. And during these visits that you've been making, what kind of feedback are you getting from count or city boards or just the populace in general about how things are being handled?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to.
Right. Well, of course.
On that stuff there. You know, being the third largest county, we've certainly had a lot of, I think there's people who feel like we have been extra cautious and been doing a great job on things. And there's who, you know, wish we would do things a little faster. You know, I think that's kind of one of the points when we were talking about opening up is just a couple weeks ago now the county opened up its buildings to the public. And I think I discussed this on a previous show that, you know, we were on the timeline in July to open up our libraries and open up our administration building to things such as no longer did you need the appointment, but you could go and do for walk-ins for things that you used to be able to do. It's just a little bit different and a little more spread out than it was in the past. But I think overall, the comment, I was just talking to somebody this morning, a constituent who said, this is the reason I live in Dakota County. You guys, you know, you take care of good things, and we're really overall proud of what you've been able to do. So
excellent.
I think that's probably the general feeling overall.
Sure, sure. And you said that, and we did talk about this in a previous segment, that there is a $52 million from CARES coming into the county.
Yeah.
In our previous segment, we talked about how the Community Development Authority or Association is starting a grant program for small businesses, and that was a $10.4 million chunk of money for that. How is the county going to deal or use the rest of the money from the CARES Act?
So that's a great question. And so once again, $52 million was given, and we have already authorized, it looks like just under $14 million have been approved by the county board to date. So I'll talk a little bit about what those are. As was said, we authorized $10.4 million to go to small businesses as a grant program. We additionally, I think it was on one of the recent programs, we had one of our county staff members talk about the long-term care COVID testing. We know, just like the state of Minnesota, that majority of our deaths, we have 100 deaths as of today, and 74 of them were in our long-term care facilities in Dakota County, none of them in long-term care facilities in the city of Hastings, for example. Neither mm-hmm. of the two mm-hmm. have had any positive cases or deaths as a result of that. But we know that the response has been a little bit slower than I think a lot of people would have liked to see. So we created a first-of-our-kind program to do increased testing in our nursing homes, our assisted living centers, some of our senior buildings, our group homes, all of those facilities where you were kind of with a lot of other people. We went and put $1 million to do our own testing to make sure that that's where we're not having a spread, because quite frankly, those are more vulnerable populations that have, as a result, been, if you don't catch it early enough, that's when unfortunately you've had some really unfortunate and tragic situations happen. So we put $1 million towards that. We also set up a community clinic testing of $150,000, to which we did for individuals who are underinsured or don't have insurance, but for testing for COVID. So we have 30 clinics going around for individuals who can get tested for COVID-19 but are lacking insurance for it. So that's something that we established. We did that with the Dakota clinics, and they're going to be primarily in areas where there's not as many opportunities. For example, we have a testing clinic in Hastings, but not every part of the county has that. And then we also did, $2 million for rental assistance. This is for individuals who are who are behind on their rent or behind on their utilities to kind of help kind of get them caught up. We did this partially as a leverage. The governor had allocated $100 million in a program, which we have applied for, but you kind of have to have some skin in the game to make that happen. So we did go in and allocate $2 million towards that. That program as well. So that is the money that of the 52 that has already been allocated. And then we will be meeting as a county board pretty much every week to continue allocating more of that money to where it may go. So
what kind of other programs do you see that money going for?
Sure. So we have just kind of some examples of things that we will go on there. At our upcoming board meeting, we are going to authorize a couple things on there. We're going to put about $300,000 towards the 2020 elections. Some of that is just letting people know that what their options are to vote, that they can vote absentee, they can vote in person, just to kind of help with some of that process there. We have a number of the costs that have incurred from COVID, buying those Zoom accounts and some of that stuff there, and so we have that allocation, which we're going to authorize at our board meeting coming up on Tuesday. But then I'll kind of break it down into really like two different types of expenses. So we've got aids to business and other organizations additional to the $10 million that we've done. So this is where potentially some of the nonprofits that are not included in this and some of the other supports that we may consider, it might be some additional funding for that. We authorized $10 million, but there might be a dollar amount where we see we've had such a demand that we need to put some more dollars towards that. We have aids to households and individuals, so that could be everything from additional money for some of our support for individuals who were hit hardest. You know, they lost their jobs. They didn't qualify for the unemployment because they're an independent contractor, or they were they owned their own chair at a salon, but so they didn't get to count on any unemployment for that part in there. So some of those supports for them. We have additional money for some of our public health outreach and services that we're looking to do. And then lastly, under this category is improving public capacity to use teleservices. So that is, we have a lot of our county clients who a lot more things are going to be done electronically. You're not going to drive up to West St. Paul for services or Apple Valley, depending on what the services are. And so we need to make sure that the level of clients have the teleservices capacity. with that. And then the other side of things, kind of more the external. So that's the first part is just kind of things that are really kind of serving some of those county, the county numbers with that and county services. The second part is more external. So that part's more the external stuff. And then the internal stuff, we are looking to how we support our own telework with the CARES Act. So we're, as an organization, almost 2,000 employees. We have a lot of people who would come into the office and they'd have their desktop, and now we're at about 50% of our employees who are working from home. And we think that a number of them may be in scenarios where they're going to be working for home all the way through the year. And so how do we support some of that with some reimbursement and some new acquisition of some technology so that our county staff can be able to work from home and still do their job? We also have, we're looking at reimbursing our costs for the sheriff, public health, and emergency services that have happened as a result of COVID. So there's a whole lot of things that we've got going on that we can do on here. These are just some examples that we've had, and these numbers equal over $60 million, just what I've kind of walked through. And I'll make one last point on this, and that is that we're looking to use some CARES money to improve the broadband throughout the county. So
right.
We have some areas that are very, very challenging, and when you're looking at working from home or potentially learning the e-learning opportunities, they're going to make it very difficult if you don't have good internet service. And there's two sides of that. One is just the pure cost of it. So we have some things where they have good internet, but it just is very expensive, and we have populations that can't afford it. But then we also have parts that just have really, really bad internet. In fact, I was on a call today with a constituent down in the southern part of the county who was having this exact conversation, saying, you know, that they just can't, they get dropped from calls. They have to drive into the city of Hastings just to be able to try to find a hotspot that will work for them. And so just kind of some of that part in there, that we have some pretty significant needs, and we're looking at some partnerships of a couple $1 million that we'll spend on that.
And those broadband infrastructure improvements, I know that you're also going to be, well, it sounds like you're going to be possibly getting some help from the federal government on that. I know that Representative Craig up in Washington has been working to construct or introduce legislation that would help improve broadband in the rural areas for those exact reasons, telehealth, distance learning, and other needs of those rural families.
Very much so, yes. And we've been working with Congress on that part in there, because that's what we've continued to say, is this is coming down to broadband is no longer a thing that only a few should have, and we pretty much need this for everything. So there's some federal dollars, some state dollars, and some county dollars that we're looking to help with that, and then also an investment from the private sector. So we've been reaching out to the private providers and said, if we help gain you some more customers, are you willing to also put some skin in the game to improve your network? And so we're through that process there. And the one challenge we have with CARES dollars is it must be used by the end of November. So we have to have a project that we can still get in the ground very quickly. So that's I think if we had more time to do some of this, we'd be able to make it. We'd be able to spend even more in this part here, but unfortunately, with the federal regulations on it, we have to have it spent by the end of November.
And what has the response been from the private sector, the providers of those services? Are they willing to buy into that?
Well, we just sent out the letter yesterday, so we did a letter of interest yesterday to all of the area providers to see who'd be interested in working with the county and who has the capacity to get some of this work done in 2020 still. So we'd had a few who had reached out to us privately and said, we are interested. But, with any bidding and government process, you need to go in and you need to give everybody an equal opportunity to at least have that. So,
right.
So we sent out a letter of interest yesterday that will go, and then the board is going to be having this discussion in early August to see what kind of an interest and what could actually get done in a very quick time.
And I'm guessing then that the November deadline is just to have the structure in place to do the work. They're not asking to have all of this already placed and ready to go by November. You just need to have the project in place.
I think the project, I think the money has to be spent, so I don't know what exactly. I think the Treasury will help us figure out what exactly that means. We're understanding that most of that, it's not just something awarded, but you have to be in the ground. So it makes it harder to get done in such a quick time.
I would think an infrastructure improvement program like that, though, you couldn't do it in 3 months. That would be a lot of work.
It's certainly that's why I think I think the idea is potentially to use multiple providers. I know, for example, there's a section of Rosemont that one of the providers is like, if we got the money or if you paid for most of it, we could get it done this year still. And that was a couple $100,000, just that one project to serve one neighborhood. And so I think that I think the conversation is what you can be able to basically get done in 2020.
It would be impressive to see that all happen.
Yeah, I will say, though, it's pretty amazing how expensive it is, just to, especially when you get into more of the rural areas.
Yeah.
It gets very expensive to serve not that many people. You can go and spend millions of dollars and only serve 200-300 homes with something like that. So that's that challenge of what you can do. So this is kind of the idea of maybe we use multiple providers and we work out a deal. For example, Scott County is doing two-thirds local government dollars and one-third private provider, and that's kind of their scenario is they'll cover two-thirds of the cost of something, but the provider has to cover one-third. So that might be something that the board looks at on that part and see what you can get done and where they have some in a tougher economy, what they can actually get done as well.
Excellent. Well, Commissioner Slavik, we've got about a minute left or so in this segment. So what I would like to do is provide you once again the opportunity to provide contact information if anybody in the county has questions or concerns. How can they get in touch with you if they need to?
Absolutely. I always appreciate that you let me have this opportunity. So all of my information is on the Dakota County website. If you go to dakotacounty.us, you can click on the Board of Commissioners, and it has any way that you choose to reach out to me. Certainly you can always email me. My email is mike.slavik@co.dakota.mn.us. You can give me a call either at my office number, which is 651-438-4427, or feel free to always just give me a call at home, which is 437-4637. And with social media, I also get people who just send me Facebook messages on my Dakota County Commissioner page as well.
Excellent. This is Community In-Depth. I'm glad to have had Dakota County Board of Commissioners Chairman Mike Slavik on the phone with me this segment. Commissioner Slavik, thank you again for your time. You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.